This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. You may have heard a giant gasp in South Texas this morning when U.S. oil prices fell below $80 a barrel. Well, the price has now climbed back up a little bit to about $82 a barrel, but the global economy is showing signs of slowing down. Production continues to climb. What does that mean for the Texas and San Antonio economy? If you've got a question or a comment about where our economy is going, we want to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet us at @tprsource. Our guest this half hour, Paul Martin, is the managing partner and chief investment officer at Martin Capital Advisors, and Keith Phillips, senior economist and research officer at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
So, Keith Phillips, that seems to be your specialty, the Texas economy. That's where you look at and you've seen where we've been and you make predictions about where we're going. So how is the Texas economy presently?
Okay. So far this year, job growth in the Texas economy has been 3.5% versus 1.9% for the nation as a whole. We are the third fastest growing state in the nation, so obviously we have been doing well. We have been doing well relative to the nation throughout the recovery. And we had a little bit of slowing last year as our exports kind of began to flatten out, and we had big cuts to federal government spending. We dipped down to about 2.7% job growth, but we have accelerated this year, and I think throughout the remainder of the year will remain strong. If you look across sectors of the Texas economy, while energy is the fastest growing sector, all sectors are growing. The weakest sector actually is government employment, which has been weak both at the federal level and state and local. But Texas continues to do well and continues to do better than most states in the country.
So job growth, in you're talking about overall job growth, very strong, but particularly in oil and oil and production?
Yeah, so one of my slides that I show has employment by sector, and someone mentioned this morning that energy is slowing down a little bit this year to about 9% job growth. Energy has been booming, and they're actually facing quite a shortage of finding workers in the energy sector. If you go out to, in particular, West Texas, in Midland, Odessa, and the Permian Basin, it's hard to keep restaurants open because the oil and gas sector steals workers from your business. So energy has been very, very strong, but almost all the major sectors of the state's economy have been seeing positive job growth.
So is there an issue, though, with lack of diversification in the Texas economy as the oil energy sector has become so strong?
Yeah, I don't really think we do have a lack of diversification. If you look at oil and gas output as a share of the economy, it really has been declining since the mid-70s, at least. Just recently, in, say, 2006 and 2007, we started this hydraulic fracking, and we saw oil and gas production actually start to increase, first with natural gas in North Texas, and then more recently oil in the Eagle Ford in West Texas. But oil and gas is not the whole story. Texas is doing better than the nation, not just because of oil and gas production, but also because of exports. And some of these exports are oil and gas related, where our exports have surged over the last 4 years. And a lot
even though we can't export oil,
we
can export oil technology.
And we can export refined products. We're exporting a lot of diesel fuel to Latin America. We're exporting a lot of petrochemicals throughout the world because we use natural gas as an input, a lot of petrochemicals, and natural gas is very cheap in Texas versus other parts of the world. So, but we're also exporting a lot of high-tech products. We're still a big producer of high-tech products in Texas with Dell and HP Compact. And so it's also the case that Texas is a good place to live. It has a lower cost of living than other areas of the country and less regulation for business. So that also drives growth.
So let's swing over to Paul Martin, managing partner and chief investment officer at Martin Capital Advisors. Now, we're hearing about the price of oil starting to show weakness. The oil price of oil is dropping. Is this a concern?
No, I think it's really more a positive for the U.S. as a whole. Obviously, it's an issue for Texas and companies in Texas that are in that industry. But for the U.S. economy, it's a positive because basically, of course, it reduces the cost of living for most Americans and is actually would be beneficial. I mean, at some point, of course, if it drops significantly further from where it is now, could be even more disruptive to the energy sector, and that could have some impact on the U.S. economy overall. But I don't think at this point it's a reason for serious concern about the U.S. economy.
So right now the price of oil per barrel floating around $80 a barrel, just over that right now, dipped below 80 just momentarily this morning. But people are starting to think about the break-even point for drilling and pumping in the Eagle Ford Shale. I mean, when does it become too cheap to continue to see the boom?
Well, you know, as Keith was just pointing out, they're having a tough time getting workers in the Eagle Ford Shale area now. And so, you know, with the drop in oil prices, that might give them some breathing room to slow down production and the activities in that area, which, again, wouldn't be beneficial for the companies in that area. But I don't think that it would be a knockout blow to the Texas economy or to the global economy or U.S. economy, for that matter.
And so what do you think is driving the price drop?
Well, I think that one of the biggest factors is production. I mean, we have tremendous production in the United States now through the shale process that is being employed around the country. And I think that that's a big factor. Of course, we know that Saudi Arabia has continued to maintain high levels of oil production. And
now for the first time, the United States is, for the first time in 20 years or more, that the United States is producing more oil than Saudi Arabia.
Right, exactly. So I think a big part of it is production. You know, we see this over and over again. Oil prices climb, and suddenly everybody's out there drilling for oil, and you have oil wells all over the place. And then at some point, there's such a pickup in production that prices start to be affected.
Supply and demand. Soon
exactly.
You have an abundance of supply.
Econ 101.
Right. So, but the global economic slowdown, talking about a triple dip recession in Europe and China seeing as less robust growth. These are issues that people are wondering if it's going to be less demand.
Well, the U.S. leads the rest of the world. Our economy is the biggest economy by far in the world. And basically, we've seen situations like this before, such as the Asian contagion in 1998, where everyone thought that Asia was going to bring down the U.S. and the rest of the world. That didn't happen. And, of course, we had a Russian crisis around that time as well. So what we've seen historically, and I think it's still true today, that the U.S. really is the economic power in the world, and the rest of the world reacts to the U.S. as long as we remain have at least, you know, a decent economic growth here. Admittedly, it's not been as strong as a lot of people would like to see. But I think as long as that continues to be the case, which we have evidence that that's happening. Today we had our lowest jobless claims number in 15 years at, I think it was 264,000 jobless claims, which to get a number like that, you have to go back to around 2000, early 2000.
This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies, and we're talking about the economy here in Texas, San Antonio, and around the world. With me today, Paul Martin, Managing Partner and Chief Investment Officer at Martin Capital Advisors, and Keith Phillips, Senior Economist and Research Officer at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. And we invite you to join the conversation. If you got a question about what's going to happen to your portfolio, we'll try to answer those questions. The number is 210-614-8980, and you can email us at thesource@tpr.org. So back to Keith Phillips at the Federal Reserve. Let's talk about what's happening with the labor markets here. Are we seeing a tightening of the labor markets? Is that going to be a problem for growth?
Yeah, so the latest unemployment rate measure we have for Texas, seasonally adjusted, was 5.3% in August. The September number comes out tomorrow, so we'll see what happens there. It likely will tick down somewhat. But we're getting close to 5%, and our contacts throughout the state are telling us that it's getting more and more difficult to find workers. So this should lead to increased wage pressures, and also next year, I think, potentially be a factor dampening job growth overall. But we do a survey of manufacturers called a Texas Manufacturing Outlook Survey, and over the last several months, we've seen a pretty sharp increase in respondents to our survey saying that they're having to increase wages. So the value of this particular measure of wage increase in manufacturing was 26.2, meaning 26.2% more said they're increasing than decreasing. This is the highest value of this measure since 2007. So we're seeing signs of both labor market tightness and wage increases in the state.
And so as we talk about labor markets tightening, and that is that for any particular type of labor, or just overall?
So we've seen for a long time, at least several years, a tightening of labor markets for high school workers in Austin and other areas. Electrical engineers have been tight for a long time. But as we've gone through the last 12 months, we're hearing more and more about tightening across a broad range of worker skills and worker types, even within restaurants and other lower-skill type jobs that we're seeing a harder time finding those workers. And in the future, this should lead to some wage increases.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines. The number is 210-614-8980. If you want to join the conversation, Judy has called in. Hey, Judy, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm a cattle farmer, and I'd like to know, if things go south in the economy elsewhere, how's it going to affect the price in our cattle here?
All right, Judy, thank you for that call. And anyone have an idea where that question, you can take that?
Well, I'll take a stab at it unless Keith wants to go first. Okay, Keith, I'll do it. Yeah, my response would be that yes, if we were to go into a recession of some sort, then obviously that could have an impact on people going out to restaurants and buying steaks and so on. Which could have an impact on beef prices. But I think we're a long way from a potential recession at this point. We have a very normal yield curve, and we've seen historically that when the Fed is this accommodative, you just don't have recessions, despite various things that are happening in the world. But I don't think that any of the concerns that exist out there, such as Ebola at this point, are going to be material to the global economy.
And particularly, for cattle ranchers, some of the problems that they're facing – drought probably would be a bigger impact on their on what's going to happen to them, their price point, than the global markets. And in China, they won't even take U.S. beef because they're still claiming fear of mad cow disease, which ticks me off.
Right.
So, but that was a good question because that's on the mind of a lot of folks around here. So let me ask you, Paul Martin over at Martin at Capital Advisors. So you talked about a recession, and you're saying there's nothing – and on the forecast, on the horizon for us right now, we're seeing growth, but in Europe, not so much. They're looking at a triple dip recession. Any impact on that for the Texas economy?
Well, again, since it's highly unlikely we'll have a recession anytime in the near future, that will be beneficial for Texas as well, since we have an economy that's much bigger than just an energy-related economy. The Texas is an important state in the U.S. economy in a variety of other industries besides energy. So our forecast is that the economy continues to grow at a reasonable rate, maybe not as high as a lot of people would like to see, but if we can get 2-3% growth over the next several years, I think that most Americans will be pretty happy with the state of the economy, and most businesses will probably do pretty well.
And there is growing concern about Ebola and what that could mean for the global economy. In 2015, that tens of billions of dollars, or even more than that, would be need to try to eradicate it. Is that going to have an impact on global growth?
Well, of course, that's all speculation. But again, even billions of dollars spent on fighting Ebola would not be material to the global economy, which is a $100 trillion economy. So I don't see Ebola as unless it somehow were to become some epidemic that was killing a lot more people than what's even anticipated now in worst case scenarios.
Well, the CDC is predicting 1.4 million infections by mid-January.
Well, no, I mean, it's a serious issue for sure.
And then there's just the dealing with the panic and the fear of it.
Well, I think that's more the problem right now is that there's uncertainty about what's going to happen and what the final impact will be. And so, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion on that, I suppose. But the experts, at least that I've listened to, seem to feel like it's not that it's highly unlikely that it's going to get to an extent where we can't manage it. A lot of people will be affected by it, but again, information I'm seeing is not suggesting to me that it's going to have a material impact on the global economy.
So it's not going to be as big a burden on the global economy, that it's just something to be manageable. It may be a news story, but it's not going to be an economic story.
Right. I mean, in my business, we're always trying to predict the future, and so nobody has a crystal ball, so I can't know,
right.
But I'm just giving you my opinion, and
sure.
It is absolutely. That it's not going to have a material impact.
We're speaking with Paul Martin, Managing Partner and Chief Investment Officer at Martin Capital Advisors. Also with me is Keith Phillips. He is a Senior Economist and Research Officer at the Federal Reserve Bank of Texas, and we're talking about the state of the Texas and the global economy and their interacting and interrelated. Texas is a big exporter. We invite you to join the conversation. Number is 210-614-8980. So we're talking about the stock market also. We're seeing these triple-digit fluctuations in what's happening with the stock market. And Keith, I know you can't talk about that, but Paul, you know, what's driving this?
Well, we've seen historically that the stock market periodically goes through these phases where there are various factors at play in the world that cause people in the financial markets to reassess their positions. And, you know, certainly after a strong year such as what we had last year, you would expect that the next year might be somewhat flat to even down possibly. This year has been okay. We were up, you know, a little bit up until recently, and now we're pretty much flat on the year at this point for most of the stock markets. I see this as more of a buying opportunity at this point. Again, I don't think any of the reasons that are given out there for the sell-off in stocks are ultimately going to impact the U.S. economy significantly or to the point where we would have to worry about a recession. And, of course, recessions are really the only time that you have to worry about your portfolio in the market because that's the only time when we really have had significant pullbacks in the stock market is in recessions, though from time to time, of course, in 2011, we had about a 20% pullback with the uncertainty regarding the debt downgrade. But, of course, that did not materially impact the economy, and the economy continued to expand, and the market came back pretty quickly.
Right. So, but with the stock market doing this, you know, zapping back and forth, 300 points here, 200 points there, it seems like they're reacting. There's a lot of uncertainty. That's what's driving it. You say the market hates uncertainty. Where is the uncertainty coming from?
Well, again, from some of these situations out there, such as Ebola, where we don't really know, you know, what the impact ultimately will be, and so a lot of times, you know, people in the financial markets will sell first and ask questions later, and you know, you've got a lot of hedge funds in particular recently that have been going through some forced liquidations because of the volatility that's happening. If I had to make a guess here, I'd say that we're probably a lot closer to a short-term low than we are that the market's going lower, significantly lower from where they are now.
So this was a correction of sorts.
Right. This is a correction in a normal bull market. They happen from time to time. We haven't had this much of a correction in a couple of years now, so people kind of forget about that. But anyone who can remember 2011, again, we had a 20% decline then. But if you blinked your eyes, we were off to the races by the end of the year and into the next year, and we've had a very good market ever since then.
And so Keith Phillips with the Dallas Federal Reserve Bank. I mean, how is Texas positioned to continue with exporting? And especially manufacturing goods.
Yeah, so the thing about the recent oil and gas boom is that it wasn't just price-driven. It was technology-driven with hydraulic fracking. And suddenly we have a lot more resources than we thought we had, both in oil and natural gas. And so because of that, there's been a big interest in expanding our petrochemical industry and our refining industry, and we're seeing big investments along the Gulf Coast in petrochemical.
Is that for the export of the liquefied natural gas?
No, we're seeing some movement there, but this is to make ethylene and to make diesel fuel and to make all kinds of products that we can sell internationally due to the abundance of natural gas in the state of Texas. And that abundance obviously leads to lower prices. Now, if we start exporting, the margins between us and other places will shrink somewhat, but it's still going to be high. It's very expensive to export natural gas. Mm-hmm. To liquefy it. You have to freeze it to super low temperatures, and it's very costly. So, plus we have a potential boom to our south in Mexico. The Eagle Ford doesn't end at the border, and the Mexican government has taken on serious energy reform. And
San Antonio seems well positioned to try and assist in that.
Energy companies within South Texas and Houston and San Antonio are well positioned to help that expansion occur in Mexico over the next 3 to 4 years.
But you talk about the cost and just the difficulty in exporting the liquefied natural gas, but we have an abundance of it, and there seems to be the price is a lot higher elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So if you can manage to do that, there are dollars to be made. So that's what's driving those decisions.
Sure. And you don't have to liquefy it to sell it to Mexico.
Right.
And they're building pipelines up through to South Texas to get some of our gas.
Right. So by getting it to Japan, that's kind of where that's where people want to get the natural gas to because they're, dealing with shutting down their nuclear power plants and stuff and trying to find a new energy source. But I want to thank both of you for coming up here and telling us things look pretty good, right?
Things are good.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive.
All right. Awesome. That's Paul Martin, a Managing Partner, Chief Investment Officer at Martin Capital Advisors. Also with Keith Phillips, the Senior Economist and Research Officer at the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. This is The Source on KSTX. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 5,000-year history of Africa and what the Ebola outbreak means for the future of Africa. Stay tuned.